here.
We are down with the sickness. Word.
Welcome, Forrest.
I'm Forrest. That's Josh. Welcome, Josh.
Hi. I'm happy to be here.
Also, Mark was speaking to me.
No. It's true.
Don't interrupt me, Josh.
You're right.
We are Gamer Discretion Advised.
We sure are.
Or Gamer DA for short.
The best podcast in the universe.
Or in this kitchen.
We're here first, folks.
One of those is a true statement. The other one...
Not so much.
You decide.
We got news in December, which is kind of odd for us.
Right. Well, especially since it's, you would consider, like, early? Since it's all 2020 holiday stuff, so...
Usually gaming news comes late in the year. November is usually about as late as we get for big gaming news. And, well, here it is, middle of December, and we have this fall in our lap.
Honestly, it kind of exploded, all the gaming news did. Just out of nowhere, you have almost too much news.
The Game Awards brought a lot of it. I'm not... I don't know. After the Game Awards... I always kind of shake my head because Jeff Keighley's the one that puts him on, and he seems like a nice enough guy, but he seems like he's too pandering, and I was surprised even Death Stranding got any awards, and he is in Death Stranding, so yeah, everyone in the business calls it the Keighley's, and that's because he does all the work to get everything going for that, so... Because it used to be on Spike TV.
That's what I remember.
And then Spike TV, I think, stopped hosting it. So Jeff Keighley thought, well, I'm going to be out of a job? Question mark.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started doing his Keighley Awards, or the Game Awards, as we call them.
Well, I mean, if he puts that much work into it, why can't he, you know, rig the votes?
Right. So... After this, we had an announcement for a new Xbox, officially named the Xbox Series X.
The Xbox Microwave.
Yes.
I want to call it the 2001 Obelisk.
There's no orangutan or gorillas pounding and banging on it or chimpanzees or anything like that. They were chimpanzees, weren't they?
They were chimps.
For the record, I believe it was called the Monolith.
It was.
Thank you.
I literally spent a minute and a half trying to figure out what the hell that was actually called.
I could not get it out of my brain, even though
I guess you weren't close enough to the fucking monolith, were you?
I guess not. Obviously not. They didn't teach me nothing about weapons and killing jaguars. Jaguars. It's yogging. It's a silent J.
So anyway, I kind of wonder why they put it out, why they gave us a taste of it now. We've still got a whole nother year to wait for the thing.
But it's a whole nother year.
Well, yeah, I know.
Movie quotes.
It's like I just said, though, a whole nother year is a long time to wait for a console. That's why it was great seeing all that stuff at E3, is because, you know, it gave everyone time to open up the floodgates for, you know, pre-orders and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the right time of year. No actual hard specs have been announced yet for it, though. And I think that's pretty smart on them not to.
Oh, I agree.
And there's been that rendering of the PS5 floating around for a while now. And it's kind of got a weird... I don't know. The form of it is not that odd. Just there's a giant V shape that's kind of cut out on the top of it.
That's the thing. All I saw was a big boomerang of a console. So I don't know.
It's built up except for the very top of it, and it's got a cutout at the top. Like something goes there. I wonder if it's just a place for you to stick your controller, or I don't know.
Maybe it's going to be like the Sega, and you could just put in all kinds of weird-ass accessories. Maybe it'll have a cartridge player.
That's actually pretty funny. I'm just trying to think of all the peripherals that you could buy for it. Now you don't need... the Genesis Mini, just buy our PS5 adapter. You got to plug it in. By the way, you need to know how to solder. Do you have the soldering equipment? Buy the official PS5 soldering Genesis installation kit.
It's a game and it's useful.
They've changed the controller on the Series X. We could still use our old ones, but it looks like they've changed a little bit. Josh, you said it looks like they made it, what, 5% smaller?
That was an arbitrary number I put out, but they said it's a little bit smaller. There was no official numbers, so I was venturing a guess at around 5% smaller, 10% smaller.
You are arbitrary.
And from the pictures that we've seen, they've added a media share or another share button to the center of it.
Yes.
So, and the cross pad looks different as well.
It really does just remind me of the Elite controllers.
It does. I mean, even the joysticks to an extent look like, well, I guess the Xbox One controllers, you know, I mean, they still have that same form factor to the joysticks, but I kind of wonder if they've changed the top bumpers, the L&R bumpers at the top of it. They look a little bit more, they look like they stand up just a little bit more, so I don't know. A lot of people are making fun of the shape of it, but I don't have a problem with it. I think it's aesthetically pleasing.
It's just very minorly tweaked, just like the PS3 to PS4 controller. There's very little difference, so.
Well, I was talking about the console itself, but...
Oh, gotcha.
It is blocky. But then again, like I said, who spends time standing around staring at their console, really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks no different than a sound bar or a speaker sitting on the shelf. You know what I mean? I think it looks good.
If it's not full of stars, I'm going to be upset.
Full of stars?
Mm-hmm.
It's full of stars.
Oh my god, it's full of stars.
Whatever Spock says while he's, you know, going to V'ger.
You are V'ger. We are V'ger. We must find the Creator.
Soundwave superior, Autobots inferior.
The fuck you did not. That was awesome.
Best Transformer, 10 out of 10. Fight me.
I see the share button, and I like the D-pad.
It's a share button. You push it, and it just plays share. Do you believe in love?
Or you push it, and it's like, I really wish you wouldn't hold me so tight. Could you loosen up a bit?
Which reminds me, what was the Will Ferrell movie that him and, I can't think of the other guy. They're singing a Cher song. They're going up to it and putting their hands on the crystal, and they were singing Cher together. And the Xbox, the shape of it reminds me of the thing that they were putting their hands on.
I legit have no idea what you're talking
about. Land of the Lost.
Oh.
The Land of the Lost remake.
Okay, so, all right.
I like that movie.
I've only seen it the one time when it came out. That's why I didn't get your comment.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the reference. If it had been something from I had seen multiple times, like Anchorman, then I would have got it right away. Sorry.
But yeah, they sing Cher in that. So it's full circle.
It is. Yep. It really is. Or full whatever the hell Will Ferrell is.
Curly haired.
Yes.
So, but yeah, we've got a new Xbox to look forward to now.
Sorry, there's this controller. It's obviously a joke. It's for the Xbox 720. It's got like five different joysticks, and it's got buttons all over it. It's obviously a fucking joke, but...
No, you're missing the point. That's actually a Nintendo 64 controller.
Oh!
But it's for their fourth arm, the Japanese fourth arm.
But it multiplied. They bred together.
It's for Goro.
It has a recessive gene that has brought forth the two extra limbs and the 90 extra buttons. You can do a lot with that controller.
Yeah, like not play a fucking game.
Oh my god, it has MUI buttons. That's Mastered Ultra Instinct. Oh my god, Goku uses this controller.
No way.
All right, I'm done.
Don't let your son hear that.
Sinuous Saga.
Okay.
I have legit never heard of that until I saw it on the board up there.
Yep, Sinuous Saga port is Hellblade 2. And it's so far the first game that it's been officially announced for the Xbox Series X.
The trailer that they put out said that it was rendered native to the Xbox. It looked really fucking good.
I'm going to take a random guess and say that Halo Infinity is probably also going to be for this new console.
Well, so. From the commercial that they showed of it, yeah.
Well, they said months ago it was going to be a launch title. So
I'm pretty safe to assume that's been confirmed as well.
And, very of good. Course, Forza. They showed Forza, course, FIFA, Forza, FIFA, and Halo. Those were the three things that they showed kind of...
That's kind of what they always launch with, no matter what console it is.
It's like, oh, we got a new console. Bring out the soccer game and the racing game.
Right. Bring out the default games. Just don't get caught changing the years on everything.
Yeah, no.
Did you see that about 19?
I did.
Yeah. So for FIFA 19, did you see anything on that either?
Where they basically just moved the same game forward.
Yep.
We discussed it once.
Okay, did we? Yeah. See, I don't pay attention to that kind of shit, I guess.
But
I mean, who pays attention to FIFA?
I'm in our own podcast.
Who?
I don't know a Ned.
Speaking of sports games, though, MLB The Show has always been made by Sony Entertainment, and it has always been a PlayStation exclusive. And for a long time now, since they own the MLB license, no other company has been able to distribute a Major League Baseball game on any other console. Mm-hmm. So the contract was up for The Show. So, of course, Sony approached the MLB to renegotiate or renew their contract.
Yeah, that's easy money.
So now the contract has been renewed. They have to distribute that game on other consoles. Sony does, themselves.
That's got to be a little humiliating, at least.
I wouldn't think it's humiliating, but it is awkward, to say the least. It's, you know, it's nothing new. Microsoft's done it, you know, with Ori and Nintendo did it back in the day with the CDI games and whatnot. But
those glorious, glorious trash dumpster fires.
Mm-hmm. But to hear that in 2019, or 2020 rather, MLB The Show is going to come to the Nintendo Switch and the Xbox One or the Series X, that's pretty epic, to be honest.
Kinda.
It's going to open the floodgates quite a bit. So I was waltzing around on Twitter a little bit, and somebody made the comment on there, does this mean that PlayStation or Sony will have an Xbox Series X development kit?
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
And I have my doubts on that. I have my doubts that Microsoft just hands them the...
Especially to a competitor.
Right.
Okay, that's a good question, though.
Right.
That's not necessarily out-of-the-box thinking, but it is most definitely forward-thinking.
It kind of makes me wonder if, since Sony's going to make the game, if there's going to be different distribution rights is what it's going to do. If that's all that this is they'll hand the game to Microsoft and tell Microsoft, if you want the game on your console, right, you'll have to do the legwork. And the same with Nintendo, but I don't know.
Well, that might be mutually beneficial, at least between PlayStation and Xbox, because they, you know, we don't want you seeing what our Xbox really is, even though you could, in essence, purchase your own and then tear it apart. You know, reverse engineer it, and then you would know everything, but I don't know where I'm going with this.
Well, they don't really have to. I mean, that's what the development, when they send out developer kits, I mean, everything is open box. I mean, all of the schematics and everything, like, they have to know how to develop for this system, a game to properly run on their system. So, I mean,
I do find it, honestly, a little strange that they made MLB a first-party game to begin with. Like, Sony themselves are developing it.
Mm-hmm.
Not second-party. They're not giving it to someone else to develop.
No.
Huh. That is all I had to say on that.
Well, you got to think, EA holds the license for the NFL.
Oh, I forgot. The gods of shitty business practices.
Yeah, and that's how that works.
If you want to lose money, pray to them.
Well, that was always the rumor why the Dreamcast died.
EA
wasn't going to, well, because NFL, if Madden comes to your system, it opens the floodgates.
Mm-hmm.
People follow Madden, and they have since the early days.
Yeah, the 90s at least.
Right. People love Madden. And, you know, when you had it on, I can't remember, was Madden on the 64? It had to be, wasn't it?
I don't know if it was, but I think it was for the Super NES at least.
It was on PS1. I know it was on the Genesis for sure, Madden was. But on the PS1, the PS2, and the PS3, and 4, Madden sold really, really well. All for those consoles. That's a year release franchise. That's 60 yes. bucks a year.
Madden had a 64 game.
I thought so.
Madden 64, Madden 99.
Man, they love their creative names for the 64.
EA had Madden 2002. So, yeah, it was on there.
So, you take Madden, EA finally tells Sega, no, no more. We're not developing for you after you've done the 32X, the Sega Saturn, and now you pulled the plug on the Saturn too early. We still had stuff in development for the Saturn, and now you guys are going to pull the plug and pull out this new Dreamcast. We're done. Mm-hmm. We're done developing. So they bring in their own software team, Sega does, and make NFL games. So they've got the 2K lineup. So at the same time, EA and Sega both are producing NFL games. NFL 2K, 2K2, all the way up to 2002 or 3, maybe 4. I can't remember which cut it off. But then EA went in and wanted exclusive rights. They wanted to cut Sega off. They wanted to make sure that Sega couldn't produce another sports game like that. So they held the NFL license at EA. And the same with FIFA. FIFA's held exclusively through...
I knew that was.
Here in the States, anyway. I don't know... There is a Konami game that they release. Excuse me. And it is... Pro Evolution.
That's right.
And I don't know if it is FIFA or if it is... I don't know the sanctions. I'm not good at sports. I never have been. But
what are sports?
All the lines and stuff like that that they drew back then was to try to keep other companies from encroaching on their territory, which really turned into crappy business. NBA is one of the few that doesn't have that, I don't think, because there is the NBA 2K series and there's also NBA Live. Those are two different series that make NBA games. And those two, both of those series still exist. I think NFL should have done the same. I think NHL should have done it because NHL's license is held by EA as well. All those big companies and stuff like that, they all should have said, you know what? We're going to license it and you guys fight till the death. One of you will come out victorious.
Right.
Because now... they're just lazy. They're, it doesn't exhibit any kind of creativity on them because they know people are going to show up. The same thing that's happened to wrestling games.
I mean, you're talking about sports games over here, and the only one I'm thinking of is, God, I wish they made another good wrestling game after.
Right.
After WrestleMania 2000, JD.
So, that's the kicker about it all is we are stuck with companies that don't want to innovate any more than they have to because... people will walk up and buy it anyway. Doesn't matter.
They don't want to innovate at all, apparently, if they're just going to, you know, slap a new name on the same game and reship it.
Mm-hmm. Don't fix the mechanics. Don't fix the rosters. Just, that's all. Well, that's actually all they do is fix the rosters.
Exactly.
And they go forward. So.
How many of those games do you think are built on the exact same game engine as they were half a decade ago?
Oh, probably most of them.
And they pump them out yearly.
Well, that was just like, you know, the EA's got their one engine, the Frostbite engine, and they want to pump all these games through it, and it's just like, no.
Right. The Frostbite was developed for first-person shooters, and that's where it excels at. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing engine for that.
That's right. What was it built for? It was built for something.
It was for, like, the Call of Duty series and stuff like that, and Star Wars Battlefront.
Battlefield is what it...
Oh, yeah, okay. It was originally for Battlefield.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
So, it's really good, but see... they came in, and then when they did Mass Effect Andromeda, they said, oh, you've got to use Frostbite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Frostbite didn't have near the tools that they needed for inventory management, stat management, you know, lore codex, even the most ridiculous things. So they had to go in and build their own fucking tools for that. And then, I mean, this is that's quickly turning into a Mass Effect Andromeda rant, but... which I never played because once I seen all the just the ways they screwed it up, I wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, it's a classic story of trying to shove a square into a triangle shaped hole.
Right.
It doesn't work.
And then they part of the way through their development, they decided they were going to switch the software they use for animations, which means all of their animations they had done thus far were scrapped because they couldn't use them. So I don't know why. You know, I'm not a programmer. I don't build video games, but I guess it couldn't translate over to the new program, so they had to start all over. And then once everybody started to see what a mess it was, people started leaving. People started leaving the project, and they're like, abandoned ship.
Yeah, no shit.
So it just turned into one of those things where it was kind of like
abandon hope, all ye who enter.
Right. It turned into what's that space game I've been waiting for? Yeah, I mean it's Star Citizen.
Elite Dangerous?
No. Star Citizen is out, and it is a playable game, but it's been in like permanent alpha state for like 10 years, and I don't remember. I can't find the article, but someone went in and did an article on the company building Star Citizen, and they found out that it's not vaporware, it's not fraud, it's just poorly mismanaged. So everyone is, I don't know, dipping into the pot, or you ever work on a project yourself? I mean, anything, like even doing dishes, and you kind of, as you're doing them, you set up a little plan. And you're like, I'm going to do cups first, or I'm going to do plates, or I'm going to do bowls.
That's the only way I do dishes.
And when then,
I very rarely do
dishes. Right. And then when you get... So imagine building a game like that, and you get halfway through just the plates, and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to pour cat food all over these plates and set them in the floor for a week, and I'm not even going to finish the rest of this. Yep. And then you just keep changing your plan without ever finishing anything. So we got mismanagement in a lot of these games like that. And that's what happened especially to Andromeda. And, you know, and then everyone bailing. They seen they were having trouble, and they said, this is going to fail, or it's going to blow up in her face, and I want nothing to do with it. And, I mean, and then no one wants to stick with it. I mean, I can't blame them. It's your career, and you don't want that smudge. You're like, oh, I'm a game developer. I do amazing things. What about Mass Effect Andromeda? I don't know what you're talking about. You know, you just have to play dumb on it.
You know, what's worse is the way you said that made me think of a South Park joke. Ike won't jump out of the alien spaceship, so Kyle says, Ike, do your impression of David Caruso's career. Geronimo! I don't know why that made me think of that, but that's just what Mass Effect's whole thing sounds like after 3.
Right, I could see that. I could see that for sure.
So, price point for the Xbox Series X, people are still trying to speculate what it's going to cost. They have no price point put out yet.
$600, final offer.
That's what people are thinking it's going to cost. Mm-hmm. But Phil Spencer's out there saying, we've learned our lesson.
Right.
I hope so.
I mean, the Xbox One was...
It released at like $500, didn't it?
Yeah, it released at $499. But
that's bullshit.
They tried to offset it by saying, well, you're also getting the Kinect with it, too.
Right.
Because we all wanted that.
Right. Or nobody. Anyway.
Exactly.
So... That was kind of how they tried to feel like they were trying to offset that cost. Rewind time and put the Xbox One on the shelf with no Kinect and throw it at $399. I wonder if the market would look any different today. I think it would.
I don't know how much more different it would look, but I'm sure something would have... I mean, Microsoft would probably be richer.
Oh, yeah.
People would be making less fun of the fucking Xbox.
Well, and not only that, but I kind of see the market changing in the fact that Microsoft wouldn't be making as much innovation as they do. Right now, Microsoft behind means a Microsoft trying to build tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a cushy company, well, okay, take PlayStation, for instance. PlayStation right now is doing what PlayStation always does. We've got the PS5 coming. We also have the VR element coming.
Mm-hmm.
The controller, it sounds like it's going to be a little bit more of an upgrade for PS5, but no one knows for certain. We've not seen anything. But we haven't really seen them innovate with it yet. We haven't heard any details of innovation yet, just that we know that we're going to get PS4 games on it, and it's going to play the VR.
That was my next question. Is the new Xbox going to be VR compatible?
As of right now, they are saying no. Phil Spencer had made the comment about there was not a big cry for it in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's just like that with 3D TVs. It's just like that with, you know what I mean? All that old tech and stuff like that, we don't use it.
Well, even when VR did come out originally, the only games people really wanted to play on it were Doom and Resident Evil 7. You know, horror games and first-person shooters. That's all people really wanted VR for anyway.
Well, they're... Okay,
I mean, there's always exceptions, but those are the only two I ever heard about. But that might be because they're the only ones that were done well. I don't know.
Well, everyone uses it, as far as I could tell, for VR chat.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's into. Mm-hmm. So that's a real niche market. Not everybody's into that.
Yeah, not everybody wants to see a miniature Knuckles driving a tank spouting Russian.
What intrigues me is, at one time, Josh said he wasn't interested in Super Hot because he didn't Super like it for the Xbox, correct?
I just don't like the game in general.
I think if you play it in VR, I have it on PSVR. I think if you played it in VR, you would think a little differently about it.
Right. I mean, because I know, like, you'll go up, you'll melee one of the enemies, and he'll drop his pistol, and the pistol comes flying at you, mm-hmm. or they'll drop a baseball bat, or even in later episodes, levels, like a katana and stuff like that. So, I mean, it seems like a cool game, and I like the idea of it, the moving in time and mm-hmm. all that. It just doesn't appeal to me, though. It's just nothing I want to sit and play.
Well, it's also white and red and nothing else, so... That's probably hard to stare at for a while.
Maybe. Well, see, I went to Mark's and he was hooking up, this was a while ago, and he was putting up his PlayStation VR, and he played the EVE Online Valkyrie demo. Mm-hmm. Now that, for me, VR would be for space sims, space combat sims. That's what I would play him.
I'd play a Mass Effect VR, I really would.
If the new Xbox, was VR compatible, and I could play Elite Dangerous on it in VR, I would get back into Elite.
But what about Star Trek Bridge Command for the Super NES?
Well, actually, there is a Bridge Command for the... Is it for...
PlayStation VR, there's mm-hmm. crew...
That figures.
There is. We haven't played it.
It looks like a lot of fun.
I bet it is, too.
And you can link up with other players and play it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you had PSVR mm-hmm. and Josh had it, we could all man the Starship Enterprise together.
That'd be kind of sweet, actually.
And they also have the original, mm-hmm. the TOS, Next Generation Bridge, and I think they also have the new bridge from J.J. Abrams.
From the movies, the Abrams verse.
Yeah.
Is it bad that I'm glad those are dead?
The J.J. verse?
No. I tell you what, I've never been the biggest Star Trek fan. Mm-hmm. I have liked the original movies. Up to a point. I mean, I will watch the original Star Trek movies. The original series was hit or miss. I would sit and watch it as a kid and be okay with it.
That's how I am. It's very, it's a little cheesy at parts.
It's definitely 60s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, for the show, it was very forward thinking and it tried to have a positive message about humanity working together. But at the same time, it was very much influenced by the 60s, free love and all that stuff. I mean, look at Kirk. He tried to fuck everything that walked.
What do you mean, tried?
Right. I think the only person, maybe Sulu was the only one that was safe.
Hello? Anyway, so even Next Generation to me, like I couldn't get into it just because there was just a little bit of, there was just something to the Next Generation that I just couldn't sit and watch. Mm-hmm. The movies I can watch. All the movies, the Star Trek movies, I guess maybe it's because they had, for a TV series, the Next Generation looks really good. Mm-hmm. The special effects and everything that they did, it actually was a really well put together show. But it was just below that belt as far as like, you know, where a movie can go with the big budget and do everything. The TV show was just far enough under that belt where it was just kind of like, for me, hard to watch.
I can't really blame you there, but when was the last time you went back and watched Babylon 5?
I hated Babylon 5. Your brother used to watch that.
I just went through a few months ago and watched seasons 1 through 4 because I fucking love Babylon 5.
Right.
Love it to death.
I do love the storylines. I love the interconnection between characters. I cannot watch the space battles. They are...
Oh, they did not age well.
No. PlayStation 1 graphics look better.
It actually reminds me, every time I watch it, I see the battles, I think of Colony Wars. That's what that's what I feel like when I'm watching it. So maybe that's why I'm so attached to it. And I agree with you. The storyline, there's sub parts of it that are just dumb as hell. But all in all, I love the whole progression. I love the idea of the galaxy and cycles and powerful alien races that stay in hiding and all that shit. But yes, the effects, especially for some of the battles, did not age well. Cannot argue that. And then they carried those effects over into Crusade. And Crusade only lasted one season. Mm-hmm. Which kind of upset me because I really liked Crusade, but Babylon 5 was one of the first TV shows, that could show you that you could do a weekly show and have somewhat decent effects.
I think the Incredible Hulk pulled that off first in the 70s.
Okay.
Look at the incredible effects.
You're right. I love when under his pecs it's pink because as he's moving, it's
the sweat.
Right. Well, they had to change the ink or something, right? Because it was making him break out in hives at first.
They went from a certain kind of like lead-based paint to a grease-based paint.
Why the fuck were they using lead-based paint on a person?
I could be wrong, but
it was
the
70s. It was a different time.
Right. Lead was
they still had lead-based paint on your cars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they still put lead in the gas.
I think that was the deal. I know they went to a greased paint, but the greased paint didn't look right in green, so they had to mix blue and yellow. So sometimes that's why parts of him look more yellow than
right,
they're supposed to.
Right, okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
I just watched the fight between him and Thor the other day in the 80s.
Oh my god, that's great.
I love Return of the Incredible Hulk.
Dude, when Thor's in there and he's taking a shower, he's like, "You have water coming out of the wall!" It's fucking classic.
Hot and cold! By Odin's beard!
That guy did a really good Thor. Mm-hmm. It was pretty ridiculous.
But yeah, Star Trek was one of those that I couldn't get as much into unless it was a movie. But I really like the way J.J. Abrams did do it, and it's put me enough interest into it that I've wanted to check out was it called Discovery? Is that the new one that they've got on CBS?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I've actually wanted to check it out and see how well it is. I haven't looked at it yet.
Apparently, from what I've seen, it's basically going the new Battlestar Galactica route and being a little too dark, a little too gritty.
I loved the first couple seasons of Battlestar.
I remember you did like Battlestar.
The remake, yeah. I liked the first three seasons of it.
I'm a Cylon.
I'm going to take a step back and say the Cylon. That was Robot Chicken, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Stars. My problem with Discovery is that it has completely disregarded established lore. You can't have a TV show.
You mean like the J.J. Abrams things?
Okay. Abrams explained it away with parallel universes caused by time travel. He basically wrote his past to do whatever fuck he wants. I accepted that. Star Trek Discovery is supposed to take place before Kirk was in charge of the Enterprise. And the Discovery is also the Discovery. It's not the Enterprise. It's a completely different ship. But it takes place before Picard. Yet it's completely disregarded every amount of lore that exists. So
I believe that.
And there's no explanation as far as I can tell. Now, once again, I've not watched it, but I watch reviews, I watch people on YouTube cry about it, I watch people on YouTube praise it. I like to get both sides of the story. But it's completely disregarded established lore. That's why I don't want to fucking watch the show. Plus, it had some pretty shitty fucking writing in the first season.
Well, that sucks.
That's it. That's my piece on that.
I think it's different. Well, you know, with the JJ, they call that the Kelvin timeline.
Right.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they call the old still exists in a different timeline.
Right. Different timeline.
Yeah. It's just a branch. It's just like
parallel. It's a parallel universe.
Like, yeah. I remember JD had a comic that came out as a piece to the movie, and it actually showed that Data was in charge of the Enterprise now.
Right.
So I thought that was cool as hell.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And by that point, in what they would call the prime timeline, the Enterprise E was about to be decommissioned because the F was about to come out. And the F is an Odyssey class. And that's been covered in Star Trek Online. However, the Star Trek Online timeline, the way it's set up, is a continuation of the Kelvin timeline. But they have time travel missions. It's convoluted because it's a video game. It's a computer game. It's a PC massive multiplayer online.
Yeah, basically.
But it basically takes place from the Kelvin timeline future, not the Prime timeline. Mm-hmm. So the Odyssey, the Enterprise F, does not necessarily correlate with the Prime timelines. What does the F look like?
Is that a trick question?
No.
That thing is
a statement.
It's kind of an abomination of a ship, in my opinion.
The F?
Yeah. Or maybe I'm thinking of the J.
You might be thinking of J, because it's
the one with the three pylons?
No. Are you thinking of the one from the end of...
Star Fox 2?
Yes. You nail it.
No, All Good Things.
No. That was Enterprise D. refit.
Wow, that's a refit?
It had been refit, and it had been modified. It was actually a battleship, because they added the Lance Phaser.
The Herkimer Battlecruiser.
Herkimer Battle Jitney.
Herkimer yeah. Battle Jitney. This is the finest long lethal weapon ever made.
Are you sure? I could have... Well, you're the Star Trek nerd, so you'd know.
No, it's in Star Trek Online. You can get it, but it counts... It's classified as a battleship.
Okay, so what's the Enterprise F?
The Enterprise F was Odyssey class.
It's one that Picard just goes, fuck!
The whole way, instead of yelling con. It's bigger and longer. It's...
Thank you.
That's why they call it the F class.
Exactly. For fucking...
I don't get it.
Yeah, I ruined it. I'm sorry.
You're fucked.
The main hull, you know how on Enterprise D or even the Enterprise E, how the main hull, engineering hull with the nacelles on the back, how it morphs up into the saucer section?
Okay. Okay, yeah. No,
so the Odyssey class coming up into that section is hollow in the center, and there's two pylons coming up the side. And it
showed me that.
Yeah, I think it's about 30 or 40% larger than Enterprise E.
Once again, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's right.
You're a very well-endowed starship.
Enterprise E, was that Sovereign class?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one from...
Sovereign is the most badass looking Enterprise
to me. It is. It's pretty fucking amazing.
And that's been your Star Trek minute?
Or minute? Star Trek 5
15? Minute.
So my favorite episode of The Next Generation is actually...
Continue. I'm listening.
Fuck.
I
blanked on it.
He thought he was going to get a good joke in here, but we let him go on too long.
I can't do... Exactly. I can't do it anymore. But,
Tapestries, that's what it's called.
Tapestries. I'm here for the tapestries.
Yeah, so when Picard goes back in time to his past and sees that he was a rowdy rebel once, but now
he's... Oh, because of Q. Q sends him back and lets him
Mickey
make his...
Mouse.
He lets... Q lets him make changes to his life.
Mm-hmm.
And Picard ends up,
And he ends up a completely devoid of emotion, devoid of imagination.
He's a lieutenant class science officer.
Yeah.
And he's a nobody.
And Riker looks down on him and is like, bitch, who are you?
Right, he's like... Look at you. You should retire. You pathetic son. So he goes back and lets all his mistakes come back through, and he ends up being captain again.
He gets stabbed in the chest and laughs about it.
I mean, there's a lot of good episodes. So Andy and I used to have a contest, because Star Trek would come on, and it has the opening scene, and then it does the intro, and then it does a commercial, and then when it comes back from a commercial, it'll do an establishing shot of the Enterprise and then show the title of the episode. So Andy and I used to have a contest who could name the episode
Before the intro.
Before it ever showed. You normally won, but there was a couple times I got him pretty quick.
And that was our Star Trek Minute.
I don't know about that.
Are we back to video games now?
We were talking about Star Trek Online, so technically we never left video games.
I just needed to know before I went to go get a snack.
Star Trek Legacy. What?
I just needed to know before I went to go get snacks.
Bring us some Synthahol.
So, oh my fucking God.
I went there.
Yeah, you did. You nailed it, though. That was perfect.
Romulan ale should be illegal.
It is.
All right, we're done with Star Trek. I know that's not your thing. Moving on.
No, it's fine. I just wanted to know if I needed to go get snacks or not.
No,
hey,
we're done.
I'm proud of us. We have not ranted about Star Trek yet.
That is true. Did. They had one for... I'd never beat it, but the one for Super... Mark's like, fuck it, I'm out. Okay, moving on.
You know, I mentioned Star Fox 2, but it's coming to the Nintendo Switch via their online Nintendo Switch Super Kamehameha, Meat Kamehameha. Sausage, whatever. Yeah, their Nintendo Online membership.
You forgot gender fluid.
Oh, yeah, SJW, whatever you want to call it. It's coming, though. Star Fox 2.
I honestly think that game's lost a bit of its impact since it came out with the SNES Mini.
The classic, yeah.
Yeah. I saw gameplay of it way back in the day. Way, way, way back. Like in 2007.
Back when it was an unreleased hidden gem.
It was 99% complete. They just needed to fix the bugs. I saw it, and I thought it looked amazing. I loved that there were so many different people you could choose from. There are so many things you can do with it. Like, the map is interactable.
Right. Interactive. So, would you say it was ahead of its time?
I would.
Star Fox 2.
I think it actually did things better than Star Fox 64, which is what replaced it.
Right. Okay.
Not everything, obviously. Star Fox 64 is a damn near perfect game, but a lot of stuff.
That's cool.
It's crazy, though, that that's what... It took them all this time to release that game. Why they never ever put a... You know, just for nostalgic sake, I would almost bet you if they ran 100,000 carts of Star Fox 2 for the Super Nintendo, they'd sell through all 100,000 in a week.
I guarantee it.
I guarantee it's one of those if they decided, you know what, we're going to release this and put it out and put it like a collector's, you would have people turning around and buying it to scalp it. And they'd be scalping it big. That's the crazy part, too, is why is Nintendo just now putting this out after all these years? I get it. To promote their miniature console.
Which was a genius move on their part.
Right. And I kind of thought that that's where it would die. Mm-hmm. I thought as soon as it hit that miniature console, that was the last we were going to see of it. But they're willing to give it to us going forward. So that's it's kind of a stroke of brilliance, really. So...
Which I do, I like that. It is a good idea, like business strategy and all that. I think the reason that they never released it before is they wanted to preserve the Star Fox canon. I almost said Star Trek. The Star Fox canon. But when they completely butchered that with Zero, I think all bets were off.
I was going to say, beyond maybe Steve, who knows the Star Fox canon?
Star Fox, Star Fox 64, Star Fox Adventure, Star Fox Assault, Star Fox Command.
No. You may know the games, but what canon do they have? Can you tell me like the overlaying arc of Star Fox beyond the fact that in the first one he was going to save his father? And beyond that, what is going to defeat Andross? But beyond that, what is this Star Fox storyline? Can you tell me?
Yeah, then he goes to Dinosaur Planet and then fights Andross again. And then he goes and kills Andross's nephew, Andrew.
No joke.
I'm not joking about any of this. But then he goes to fight evil, you know, poisonous butterflies in space. And then whatever the hell happens in Star Fox Command, because I haven't played it. I have it, but I haven't played it.
The Star Fox adventure that you're talking about when he goes to Dinosaur Planet, that originally wasn't a Star Fox game.
It never should have been either.
It was I can't remember the name of the game, but originally was not a Star Fox game.
I think it was just Dinosaur Planet.
The funny part, too, about that is I actually enjoyed that game.
I didn't. I wanted Star Fox. I wanted to go through space blasting shit.
Oh, I did, too.
Well, it would have been cool.
Star Fox VR, make it happen.
Well, it would have been cool if you had a mixture of... space combat, and then the next level, you have to land on the planet and then attack the base.
Well, that's what Star Fox Assault was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You'd have a space battle, you'd go into the atmosphere of the planet and have a space battle around the base, land, get out, and then you can shoot around.
I didn't know that.
There's even a level where you have to hop onto Star Wolf's wing
and
fire a Gatling gun at enemies.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
No. For GameCube.
Are you teaming up with Star Wolf at the time? Alright, that's ridiculous.
Oh, I love it. You have a fight with him first, but I love it.
Oh, okay. And then you have to team up for the greater good.
I mean, sure.
To defeat the space butterflies.
I hate them. They look cool. They really do. But they just remind me of the butterflies from Star Fox 64 that shoot, like, pearls of bullshit at you. And
yeah.
And are impossible to kill.
Yeah, I remember.
And if you kill one, there's always, like, three more.
Got ya.
Damn right you do.
Got ya, mate.
And the Enterprise looked terrible, by the way.
I see Star Fox as one of those game series that if they would just take the time and develop a proper Star Fox, give us Star Fox 64. Revamp it.
They did.
That's all it would take.
That's what they did with Star Fox 64 3D. And it is fucking good. It is really good.
That's all they would have to do is put it on Switch, give us modern console graphics with it, and I'll guarantee people will still buy it.
I'd
buy it for the third time.
What makes me mad is that Star Fox Zero is so good looking. It looks amazing for a Wii U game. Even by today's standards, it is spot on great looking. The gameplay looks fantastic, but they would not let us use a fucking controller. You have to use the Wii Pad.
We have it, and I have yet to touch it because I heard of that. I heard that.
The Wii Pad completely breaks the game. Like, where you're aiming is different on both things. So your reticle is in a different spot.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's why you're supposed to look at the screen and move. Or is it, do you have to aim on there?
You're supposed to be aiming on the Wii U tablet thing because that's where your cockpit is. You see from your cockpit in the Wii U thing, but then you're not looking at the TV. You don't get to see all the cool shit around you. You just see what you're aiming at.
Right, so what's the point? So basically they're forcing you to fight between two screens.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Someone thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, Shigeru Miyamoto.
Oh, okay.
But everything else about it looked amazing. They did come out with a new Star Fox game, Star Link. I don't know what that is.
Star Link is actually on all three consoles, and they put Star Fox in the Nintendo Switch version of it.
Ah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because we have it, and it's another one I've not touched either. Because it's not a proper... It's more like Amiibos.
Right, they went the Amiibo route. It's like, oh, you want the special ship? Pay $40 extra at the game store and then put it on the pad, and now it's loaded into your game.
Or do like we do and wait till it goes like half price, or now you can find it for like $15 for the Switch with the R-Wing with it. I mean, it's worth it just for the little R-Wing figure and Star Fox.
I would consider getting it now for the Switch if I could find it for $15-$20.
You should have been on Black Friday, had them all over the place, so they're pretty easy to find. So, but yeah, I mean, even for a little figure of the R-Wing, and it attaches to the Switch controllers. And the same thing with the Xbox One and PS4 versions of it. It was, you could attach it and play it that way. So, but yeah, I mean, I think Star Fox 2 is one of those games that just got lost to time, and Nintendo finally was like, oh yeah.
Let's dust the cobwebs off and give it to the people.
We still own that damn thing.
Well, you could find playthroughs on YouTube all the time.
Exactly. That's how I used to watch it, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my Star Fox thoughts.
I like Resident Evil.
How much?
That much.
That much to say that you like it?
Yeah.
But
it's not a lot.
I beat it once or twice.
Is
like
it enough
a billion times?
Is it enough to own it?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. When this game comes out, I'm going to be, like, happy.
What are we talking about?
Who?
I don't know.
Is it enough?
Operation Raccoon City, duh.
Is it enough to own it again?
It is enough to own it again. It's also maybe enough to spend $170 on a completely underwhelming collector's box. By the way, Resident Evil 3 is coming out.
What's it called, exactly? Resident Evil 3 Remake.
Oh, yeah. Just like RE2.
Yeah.
And RE1.
Did they technically consider it a remake, the first one? Or was it, I thought it was just called Resident Evil, and they didn't put the remake behind it.
No, that's a fan thing. People just called it RE-make, like remake. And it caught on with Resident Evil 2. That's just how that went.
That's funny.
Yeah, they did some.
I like good jokes.
Me too.
So what... Tell us about Resident Evil.
There's zombies in it, and there's guns.
You stole my joke.
you were going to be like, there's zombies in it?
Yeah. All right, well, since he did that, I'm going to have to go the complete opposite route and over-detail it. So, back in the 1960s, a guy named Oswald E. Spencer went to Africa, found a flower, decided it had a cool virus in it, went home and tried to put it into people, but it killed the people. So what he did is he had to genetically modify the virus, and then it turned into the T-virus. So then he had started adding that into... I can't even go anymore.
I was enthralled. I was completely enthralled by your story.
You had them all. They were clapping. There was cheers going on. Somebody asked, where's Wesker? That's the only thing I heard.
Where's Wesker?
You're doing great, kid. The master of lock picking. Right.
Yeah.
Should take the lock. So she's the master. Wouldn't she have the lock pick with her already?
They actually explained that away in one of the official canon novel.
Sweet.
Yeah, Jill's dad was a famous lock picker, and he wanted his daughter to be a cop because he didn't want her to be a cat burglar like he was. So he had her join STARS, and she hates her job, but she just happens to be good at lock picking. So
basically. She was able to join the STARS, the Special Tactics and Rescue Squad.
There you go. Let it process.
Just like getting a job at McDonald's. Like, hey, yeah. I want to be part of your special elite team. They're like, are you good at unlocking shit? And she's like, yes, I am. They're like, you're on.
They didn't have to go that far. They just looked a little down, looked at the cleavage.
Well, no.
This is Jill fucking Valentine.
Yeah, but she was wearing full battle gear.
I hate her outfit in the first Resident Evil.
Oh, man.
It is atrocious.
The beret and the
It's the shoulder pads that kill it for me.
They are kind of silly.
They're very silly.
Tis a silly place.
Even in the remake, Camelot. I hate it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, everyone, most people play Jill because she carried two extra inventory slots.
And had a grenade launcher and had Barry help her at every possible
right, turn. Right, exactly.
And she didn't have to find midget fucking keys to unlock doors.
I mean, I know she needed it, but she didn't necessarily need Barry's help. The story said she needed Barry's help. Because mm-hmm. she's a strong, independent female, and she don't need no man.
She doesn't.
Especially Barry with his hand cannon.
I have this.
I see what they were doing. I see what they were insinuating. And I'm not happy with it.
I'm not opposed to it.
So okay. Resident Evil 3 is coming 2020. Did they give us an April?
April 3rd.
Damn.
It's only 23 days before my birthday. Woo! 24 days. All right.
Okay. So we've got it coming.
Sounds like you're getting it for your birthday.
Sounds like I'm getting it the day of fucking release. Fuck my birthday.
Interesting.
Like an early birthday gift. Why'd you have to go that way? Why'd you have to do that to me?
Because Mortal Kombat and Avengers did it this year to me.
Mortal Kombat.
What else is coming? What else new?
BioShock.
The Chosen One. Oh.
I am not.
Isn't that funny? All the new things we have on our list are old things that we have on our list.
Well, like, I never played any of the BioShocks.
Didn't you play Infinite?
No.
Infinite was the first one that I beat. I played all three of them, and I liked the first one a lot, and I almost beat it, and for some reason I fell off of it towards the end.
It can get a little overwhelming if you're trying to beat it in one solid, like, run.
And the second one, I got really far in it, and I fell off on it about two-thirds of the way through it. From what I've gathered, I fell off two-thirds. Since I didn't beat it, I'm not 100% sure, but I gathered I was about two-thirds through it. And Infinite was one I couldn't put down. Which is weird because I kind of like the dark, solemn, mm-hmm. underwater, the abyss. I liked it, the tone of it a little bit more than I did the cheery, the sunny, and...
I absolutely detest BioShock Infinite. The only reason I wanted to play it was for the monster Songbird.
I was going
to
say Songbird, yeah.
Songbird is fucking cool.
That giant fucking bird?
Yeah, and I wanted a statue of it because they had one out. But it was, like, way too expensive. I wanted the Songbird statue. But it's not in the game enough. I didn't even beat Infinite, but I know approximately how it ends, and I don't like the twist. And
there's time travel, right?
It's stupid. But, yeah, I beat the first two BioShocks. Love BioShock 1. The gameplay's a little basic, but everybody praises it like it was reinventing. It did nothing new. It did the same shit Fable did, you know, 3 or 4 years earlier.
You say so?
It really did.
I've only ever played Fable 1. It's the only one I've ever played, and I love it.
But I'm saying BioShock plays just like Fable 1. You know, first-person shooter version, but...
Fable
Are there Bulverines?
There are.
I love...
Splicers?
They're underwater Bulverines.
I wish they would make a new Fable. Fable is one of the games I love... 1, 2, and 3. The one mm-hmm. I didn't play was the Kinect one.
I don't think they actually came out with it.
It did come out.
Did it?
There is the Fable that's on the Kinect. Yeah. Come out on the 360. Yep. But that's the one I didn't play. But I loved 1, 2, and 3. A lot of people were complaining because you kind of had to do a king thing for the third one. The third one was when you took on being...
You took over for your brother, yeah.
And I kind of like that.
Okay, in the context of itself, it plays out very well. Because throughout the game, to get more power, you have to get supporters, and you have to make promises to those supporters.
Right.
And at the very end of the game, there's a severe threat looming over your kingdom, so you may have to break some of those promises if you want to protect your citizens.
Okay.
And you have to do some kind of wicked shit to keep your citizens safe. That is a good idea, because it puts you in charge. The problem is, as usual, Peter Molyneux made too many promises, and how it actually plays out is you make a decision over the course of a year, but over that course of a year, it's more like, you know, every, you know, month or two, then you make a decision. What he said, basically, was that you will be a king for an entire year. You will do everything a king does. You will eat, fight, sleep like a king. You will be the king. No. You make, like, five decisions, and then you fight the final boss. Which is a stupid final boss, by the way.
The, well...
It was Inadequacy was the final boss.
Barry is the final boss.
With his hand cannon.
The bad thing with, like, well, even with Fable 2. Fable 2 was good, but it was short. Like, it was one of those games I was expecting, okay, the first one, you could beat it in under 15 hours. Mm-hmm. Actually, you could probably beat it in less than that.
I was going to say, it was pretty short.
Yeah. I think you could probably beat it in a day if you just took the time to.
Lost Chapters added at least 3 or 4 more hours onto that, thankfully. Correct.
So, when Fable 2 come out, I was super hyped. I was super excited for it because it looked great. It was... I thought, well, it's the new system, so they'll surely fix all the wrongs from the last Fable. I bought it on Friday night. I chewed on it on Saturday. On Sunday morning, I beat it. I was so pissed.
It is very short.
It was one of those games I was just like, I had so much hope and thought that they would have so much more built into it, and they did not. And it was at a time when I had time to give to gaming. And now is the time I need a game like that, because I could play it in spurts and finally beat it and be like, oh, I would feel more.
So it was ahead of its time.
Yeah. That's what it was.
No.
In the future, people will be so busy to play video games.
In a world. I didn't really like Fable 2 all that much. I think because the first Fable has some dark fucking subject material, but it makes a joke out of everything. Everything is a joke in Fable 1.
Well, when you can fart at any response, that's...
Exactly.
Bolvery.
But in Fable 2, it kind of takes itself too seriously. It's too dark. There's half the color as the first one. It tries to make the world more realistic by... Like, if you want to travel from one zone to another, you know, you have to go through a loading screen. But as you're approaching the loading screen, it'll be like, let's go to Bowerstone City. It's 241 miles away. So then you travel 241 fucking miles, apparently.
I'm there. I made it in an afternoon.
Yeah, it's the illusion of a big world.
Okay.
But it's not a big world.
I see. Well, I'd like to look in to see what happened there. Was it...
It's Peter Molyneux. That's all you
need
to know.
That's all you have to say is Molyneux is involved. Mm-hmm. The one thing I want to look at is where Mass Effect Andromeda fell off. How that turned... Well, you know, we know a little bit of the engine failures and stuff like that, but I want to know why it bombed so, like, why they didn't go back and, I don't know, give us a better Mass Effect game.
Why couldn't they stand up and put their hand up and be like, we fucked up, our mistake, we are now going to take the time and we're going to revamp this game and we're going to build and complete the game that you paid for instead of rushing out an unfinished product.
Right.
What game was it that just got delayed again?
Which one?
That's what I'm asking. I can't remember. I don't remember. But there was something we were excited for.
It was PlayStation exclusive.
There was something they said that was come out, and they said, you know what, guys? We're going to have to knock it back because it's not ready. Oh, Watch Dogs. No, not. It was from Naughty Dog.
Right.
PlayStation.
Oh, Last of Us.
Last of Us 2. Yeah, see, that's what I want. Even if I have to push it back again and push it back another 3-4 months, if I'm going to give you $60, $70, $120, $150 for a collector's edition, excuse me, that comes with a special statue or something that makes me feel like I paid my money's worth, you know, give me a complete game.
Yeah, give me a nylon bag that's supposed to be canvas or Kevlar or whatever the fuck it was supposed to be.
Well, I mean, even 76 feels... patched together. The whole game feels patched.
It's a Frankenstein of a game, but it is.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's, yeah, they, another fucking failure.
We'll not talk about that. It has no name from now on.
It's one of those, every time we talk about it, I always feel like...
It's like you feel nasty talking about it.
Like, I need a shower now.
Well, and the worst part, too...
we admit it exists.
We, you know, when we first started playing, we were super excited.
Who's we?
Mark and I.
There you go.
we were super excited and we were ready to give it a shot. But just as we progressed into it and we started finding all the flaws in it and seeing all the bugs, which as far as I know,
there are a lot of cockroaches in the Fallout universe.
I mean, I don't know if they've been patched or not. At least EA came out and said they were going to work on Anthem.
Supposedly they were working on that thing from the ground up. They're going to redo basically the whole thing and try to make it better. So we'll see how that goes.
My phone just popped up and said The Expanse Season 4 is out. So as soon as you guys leave, that's what I'm going to be doing the rest of the day. Bye. Get the fuck out. GTFO.
All right, well, that will be it for our podcast.
Podcast at GamerDA.com.
Please tell me what you think of The Expanse.
Yeah.
There's no video game to it, so it's not relevant.
Right.
There was Iron Sky was a video game first. Dude, Nazis in space and on the moon. Who would not want to play that?
As long as Udo Kier's in it, I'm down for anything.
Right. You're like, I'm in love with him. What else? Alien Isolation is getting ported to the Switch.
Sweet. Now you could scare little children.
I mean, I could scare little children now. I just have to be like, hi, guys.
Yeah, if you grew like 5 or 6 inches.
I sure hope that hurt no one's ears. I apologize if it did.
So, Alien Isolation coming out for the Switch doesn't shock me too much. Alien Isolation was a good game. But I kind of feel like they're overdoing it with porting everything forward. I get why they're porting everything forward, but I still don't understand. Why couldn't they just make another game? Use some of that resources and instead of just dropping it, you know what I mean? It's been a few years since Isolation's been out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as I know, though, it financially, it wasn't a blockbuster. It didn't do that great.
Honestly, though, it's aged pretty well. I mean,
it's still.
It came out in 2015, I think, and it's done, or it stayed very, not relevant, but very
2015-ish?
Original.
Oh.
Well, I mean, a little bit. Whenever The Last of Us came out, or Evil Within.
Right.
But which I never played.
It wasn't that great.
Fuck. The Suffering, do you remember that?
Yeah, that came out. That was the same guys who made Mortal Kombat made that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember that game, Mark? Suffering? The dude was in like a prison and there was monsters and you had a dark side and when you collected enough, you collect enough Dark Souls or whatever, you turned into like some raging electrocuted, you had chains coming off of you and you could whip them around.
And you wonder why Mortal Kombat people made this game.
I liked The Suffering. Part 2 was pretty good too.
Yeah, it had Michael Clark Duncan. That's his name. He was right. He was the bad guy in that, I think.
Okay. Man, I'm going to go through and look at gameplay at that, because I missed that game.
There was a demo for it in Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks, which I think I may have played more than Shaolin Monks.
Oh, that's right.
That's not true. I played a shit out of that game.
Right. I like Shaolin. Now, I didn't own it, but I played it with you a couple times. Mm-hmm. I liked it, but it was never one of them I sat down and I was like, man, I want to play Shaolin Monks.
It's worth it if you can stick with it, but I'll tell you what. Two players bullshit because you have a shared life bar and you do not get a lot of health back in that
game.
That's
ridiculous. Why do people think that's fucking fun?
Because it's 2005 and they wanted to try something new.
Well, they failed.
They did fail.
I have been watching The Mandalorian.
Word.
Who hasn't? Except a lot of people.
And we need to actually sit down and have you seen the 6th episode yet?
No, he's not.
Damn it.
There's a 6th episode. Friday. And they're going to, well, next Friday there won't be a new one. They're going to want everyone to go watch the new Star Wars movie.
fucking Disney.
Rise of Skywalker comes out next Friday. I've got my tickets for Thursday evening.
Yep.
We're probably going to wait till like Sunday to watch it, so it dies down a bit.
So yeah. I'll be texting you, telling you, blah, blah, blah dies, blah, blah, blah happens, blah, blah, blah.
Han Solo dies.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Twice.
Does Luke die too?
Yoda's gone now too.
Oh. Hot take. There's spaceships. Big surprise.
Hey, you know what? We can actually say the Emperor dies and it'd be a legit spoiler.
More than likely. I mean, now he transcends all beings and becomes one with the universe.
I mean, the Sith started it in the Legends canon, so.
It's true. So anyway, we will have to get our own cast on just
the Mandalorian.
Just the Mandalorian itself. I would
be more than happy to do that.
Yeah.
I am in love with that show.
It was kind of the episode Mark was waiting for because Bill Burr's in it, the comedian.
And I love Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Does he just walk around in the background or something?
No.
No, he's a main character.
Yeah, he's pretty prime in it. I mean,
for the episode.
Yeah. But it really kind of concretes what this series was supposed to be in the beginning. You get the hint that it is definitely off the rails all the time. Mm-hmm. There is no case in point, sorry for stammering. I've seen a lot of people online saying, "Oh, well, I see what this series is going to be. Oh, well, I see what this series is going to be." But really, six episodes, and it shifted so much between these six episodes that it's kind of like...
Each episode is kind of different despite being serialized.
Right. And, you know, you kind of get this stamp, well, Star Wars is, you know, a thing, and you usually get this from mm-hmm. Star Wars. And with this series, you haven't totally got that. It's not always the, this is what's going to happen. There is no X to Y to Z in this. It's like...
That's what I like.
A to D to N to L. You know, I mean, it's... Well, it bops all over the place.
First off, we all know that it was really just a vehicle for Baby Yoda to happen so they could print their own money.
Right.
But that's really what it was for. Jon Favreau is a genius. But no, what I like about it is that it treats itself in two different ways. It's serialized, so every episode follows the previous one in previously established canon. Like Game of Thrones, you had to have seen the previous episode to know why they're here. Why are they on Tatooine? But at the same time, it does its own thing with each individual episode. It's not, you know.
Right.
We have to spend six episodes preparing for the big battle that's going to totally come.
Right. It's not that. I see your point. Well,
it's like, okay, well, we have to take out the AT-ATs in this episode, but in this episode, we have to help a fellow bounty hunter.
Right.
But well, you still like have you say, to have seen the previous episode.
Not really.
I mean, not really.
But. Okay, 4, 5, and 6 mm-hmm. are standalones.
In a matter of sense, yes.
Well, I'm talking we're talking about he's still on the run with Baby Yoda, but to me, the only thing that connects 4, 5, and 6 is the fact that he is the Mandalorian on the run with Baby Yoda.
Pretty much.
That is the only connecting factor. Mm-hmm. Every story in itself. However, with episode 6, it seemed to leave on a hanger that more's coming, as in the characters aren't gone. They weren't just in an episode and you're like, oh, they're gone, you know, oh, that was a neat episode. The characters are still around. I know that it's kind of a spoiler, but their return is possible in the future. So you also got to think, too, this is the first season. First seasons of shows are always trying to find their stride.
Mm-hmm.
They never have it really figured out. So that's just my opinion on it. I mean, but that just leads into the fact that you say we need to have a Mandalorian cast.
Agreed.
Where we could actually focus just on Mandalorian and not have to bounce around to a bunch of stuff.
I'm just so glad that Jon Favreau went Western and space route.
Yeah.
But the sixth episode, the very tail end of the episode, does something to elicit... You could feel it going, hey, remember, this is Star Wars. Mm. Like, there is something at the very end of it that happens, and you're just like... Yep, this is still Star Wars. Like, there's still that nod to it enough to go, you know...
Something happens that just reaffirms the fact that you're watching Star Wars.
Right.
I'm going to take a random shot in the dark and say it has something to do with the Force.
No.
Thank you. Okay, good. That's what I was afraid of.
No.
Because I wanted this to veer as far away from the Force as possible.
They're doing pretty good so far. I'm sure the Force will come in play, but it seems like they're doing a really good job of making sure that you understand that not everyone in the fucking universe can use the Force and wields a lightsaber.
Or even knows what the hell it is.
Exactly. Because at this point in the timeline, it's still considered a quote-unquote hokey religion.
Mm-hmm.
The Jedi are gone.
Yeah, as far as everybody knows, the Rebellion beat the Empire, and that's all there is to it.
Right, right. Most people have no idea. Well, and they covered that in The Rise of Skywalker. They kind of did. Mainly, they covered it in the Aftermath books. There's 3 books that take place between Return of the Jedi and what was the first one, JJ's?
Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens. Sorry, I've drawn a blank on that.
Me too, actually.
But it quotes that only a handful of people knew that Vader picked up the Emperor and threw him over the side. There's only a handful of people that knew what happened in the throne room. Just like you said, Forrest, as far as everyone's concerned, the Rebellion showed up in their fleet, mm-hmm. and they took out the Death Star and killed the Emperor with it. That's as far as everyone knows. Only 10 or 20 people in the whole universe know what happened.
Mm-hmm. That's the weird thing, too. All the marketing material around The Rise of Skywalker has been the Emperor laughing this whole time. So it just...
I saw the trailer you sent me yesterday where Kylo meets the Emperor. I'm probably a minor spoiler, but... I am every voice that has ever been in your head. God, that was stupid and clever at the same time. How dare they?
It was clever. I watched that and thought, you sons of bitches. Mm-hmm. You were trying to elicit that feeling, and they played on it. That trailer definitely did a good job of.
That's better than the other trailer showing them fucking horses on the Death Star. That still rubs me raw.
It's a Star Destroyer.
Pissed off.
Did you not see him running by the four ion cannons that usually run along each side of the Star Destroyer's
main hull? I thought they were just running up the trench of the Death Star where there's ion cannons in that too.
Not ion cannons.
What kind of cannons are they?
The turbolasers.
My emotional state.
I hate you for knowing that. Someone else was going to do it, but it had to be you.
So, yeah.
I'm just upset they don't have... No, I'm not. I was going to bring in some EU stuff, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Where's Darth Revan? There, I did it first.
Everyone wants Keanu Reeves to be Darth Revan.
Yeah, not everybody.
You're like 99.99999999999999% do.
What pisses me off is my dad would always pick the character in Knights of the Republic who looked like him. And of course, in Knights of the Republic, spoilers, you are Revan. So in essence, my dad was Revan. I'm like, oh, whatever, they'll never pick that. It's his canon face. Guess what his canon face is?
Your dad?
He is my dad. I'll pull up a fucking picture.
I don't want to see it.
I don't give a fuck.
While you pull up the picture, I need to find out what you guys thought of the new Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters!
Afterlife.
I know who I'm going to call.
You know, I got to thinking about...
Movie theaters. What?
I got to thinking maybe they called this one Afterlife because they killed it on the last one. I thought maybe that's why they called it Afterlife, but...
So they're making a pun.
I also thought about, well, they're probably doing it as a nod to Egon as well.
Right.
Harold Ramis, since he passed away.
Rest in peace.
You know, Afterlife after Harold.
That dude is just so funny. So. He's funny in his writing. I've oftentimes wondered, because you'll meet people that are funny, and they make you laugh in tears, but then you watch a movie or a TV show that they've written, and it's like kind of funny. So I'm assuming there's a gap that has to be crossed between, you know, you and I meet someplace and I make you laugh the whole time just off the cusp. But when, that I don't know, but it looked kind of like your dad, yeah.
That's my dad. Just accept it. Anyhow.
I stand alone. You've seen the fire.
I'm the rebel. R to the E to the B to the L.
I just don't get why Ghostbusters has to have a sequel. It doesn't need it.
Well,
I think it does in this instance. And the reason I think that it does in this instance is because... Okay, it's kind of like... you don't want to go out on a sour note. If the last thing you make or the last piece of content you put out has the name that you helped build and everything else, if that last thing that came out was just not well received...
No, you misunderstand me. I don't know why even that one needed to come out. Ghostbusters 1 and 2 were perfectly fine. They're not even really all that great. Okay, the first one's pretty good.
I was getting ready to say, you better bite your tongue on the first one.
No, but
the first one's amazing.
It is. But part two is, what I mean is they're cult classics. It's like, you don't see constant sequels of John Carpenter's The Thing trying to happen.
They just try to remake it.
Exactly.
Right. Well, they did a prequel technically, but.
And it was all right, or could have been better.
Well, even John Carpenter's The Thing is a remake of a thing. It seems like every 20 or 30 years, they just try to remake movies.
Well, yeah.
That's all they do.
Basically.
So, I get why Ghostbusters has to happen, and on two fronts. One, people have been clamoring for something new from them for a long time. They've mm-hmm. been begging for it. They've wanted it. And it's not like it's one of those series that nobody's asked for. People have asked for it.
I think the reason why people are pushing for a new modern Ghostbuster so hard is because they've teased it for so long. Back in 2003, there were talks of it, of like Bill Murray was going to be a ghost in it and
shit like right. that. Well, they even did that with Beetlejuice. There's talks of a Beetlejuice sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's now new talks for the Beetlejuice sequel today. Like, it's not like it's went away even.
Exactly.
The original script for Beetlejuice 2 was going to take place in Hawaii.
Yeah, Beetlejuice Goes to Hawaii is what it's called.
That would be fucking hilarious. That was the name of it. I would eat that up.
He was going to have to fight some kind of... Or his main villain or whatever was going to have to be some kind of Hawaiian ghost or demon or something like that. It was gonna, I don't know.
That would have been interesting, but...
Tikis. Anyway.
Yeah, it was Tiki Gods or something. Tiki Mon... The Ziwi fetish doll from Trilogy of Terror. That little guy.
I hated him.
Ghostbusters, I think, right now, if it is half as good as I think it's going to be, I will be okay with that.
Caveat, we like Stranger Things around here, so that's part of it.
Well, it's not even the Stranger Things attachment, because, you know, Finn Wolfhard. Yeah, he's in it, which kind of gives you that, you know, oh, the attachment to Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're young.
That's what everybody's getting.
And their adolescence
They're getting at that for sure.
Taking it on.
And I do agree, because everyone on that I've seen has been, I'm sorry I keep interrupting you, but they've been doing the same thing. They're saying the exact same thing, that it's, oh, Ghostbusters, Stranger Things, and they're trying to cash in on it. But I mean, it did it. It did it first.
I see more of it than I do right, Stranger Things, you know, personally.
So people are just taking the fact that because two different shows have kids involved, that they're just cloning each other.
But it doesn't help that they're the same damn kids.
One of the same kids.
Just one of them.
Just one.
I thought I saw, maybe not.
No, it's just Finn.
Okay.
So my point being, though, is you've taken, okay, the Ghostbusters series, really, since Egon's gone, putting his daughter and her kids in Egon's old house or old farmhouse, and them going through and rifling through all his old stuff, like, it's kind of a good idea to be fair to the lineage of the Ghostbusters and where they're going to go forward. I think it's kind of brilliant that they're going to get to go back and kind of rediscover all this stuff. And when they figure out that their grandpa was like this really awesome
right.
badass Ghostbuster and was like the brains of the operation to boot, like, you know, they were all smart, but really Egon was their Donatello.
Their brain, yeah.
Yeah.
Venkman was the merchandising guy. Jazz hands.
Jazz hands, indeed.
He was their PR.
PR is what I was trying to think of. I couldn't think of
it. I'm just surprised anybody wanted Harold Ramis's Epididymis. That's a Ghostbuster joke for all one of you who's actually going to get that.
So.
So.
I always, when I was a kid.
You and I are enemies now.
Good.
Looked at the four of them and thought of them as Ninja Turtles.
I mean, I did it too.
Maybe that's why the Ninja Turtles was as popular, because of how popular Ghostbusters was. There had to be the four to make up everything.
What I love is that in high school, I had a pure, unadulterated obsession with the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, because it's my dark phase. And, yeah, I categorized everything as the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and that came out with some hilarious fucking results. And that is all I have to say
about that. So, which Ninja Turtle is the Horseman of Death?
Leonardo.
Okay, I could see that.
But does he ride a pale horse?
They don't ride horses.
What do they ride?
Ninja Turtles? Yeah, the Ninja Turtles. Whatever the fuck Donatello comes up with. They ride a van.
Does he ride a pale board?
It is a pale board.
Probably.
So, yeah, I've seen everyone making the connection to Stranger Things, but I see it, but then again, I also think that it's something more.
In this case, I would say, in a way, Ghostbusters did it first. I mean, obviously, because it came out first. But what I mean is, I'm going to shut up. I can't explain it.
That's fair.
Don't.
I would rather you say that you're...
Go forth and die.
I would rather... I love Metal Hoglins. I would rather you say that I'm having a hard time articulating my words, and I'm just going to drop it.
You could say articulating. That's impressive.
I am more interested in to see who's going to end up in the final movie. The one person that I am more than excited to hopefully maybe see, I'm hoping that they play a Hail Mary and Rick Moranis is in it. They've said that he wouldn't do it, and he's always said that he wasn't coming out of retirement.
Yeah, that's what I remember hearing.
And he always said if there was one thing to bring him out of retirement, it would be Ghostbusters. But he acted like he wasn't interested in it.
Well, it sounds more like me. If he wanted to come out of retirement to do Ghostbusters, he wanted to have a bigger role than a cameo. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And that maybe that wouldn't bring him technically, quote-unquote, out of retirement. Just showing up on set and saying, I'm Rick Moranis. Well, see you later. Since Janine's going to be in it, Annie Potts is coming back, I thought, damn, this would be perfect for him to make a cameo.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
So it makes me wonder, you know, because Sigourney Weaver's supposedly back.
Yeah, but she's in everything now, all of a sudden.
Well, she always kind of has been. But
okay, I can see that.
But if Sigourney Weaver's in it, it makes me wonder where she fits into it, unless she is still with
Venkman.
Milbury.
Which,
that took me a second. I was like, what?
So, and that also begs the question of, if that's the instance, why would Annie Potts still be hanging out with the Ghostbusters if they're all done?
Well, you look at...
Or Ernie.
If you look at the trailer, Paul Rudd has to explain to the kids who the Ghostbusters were.
Right.
So, it's one of those things where they've not been seen for 30 years.
I just like how I pulled up a video of him from the 80s on his phone.
Well, you can pull up commercials of He-Man.
Right.
Yeah, but He-Man. Who actively just videotaped the Ghostbusters?
No, the...
Probably newscasters and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Okay.
Yeah. Because don't you remember... Dumbass.
I'll fucking kill you in your sleep. And I'll record it on the podcast.
It's for people to watch in 30 years.
We don't have cameras, Josh. It'll be listened to.
It's true.
Damn. You burned me.
Well, so. Gentlemen... We've discussed our nerd topics today. We've discussed half video game, half movie /
go ahead,
Star Trek.
It. There you go. So anyway, as I was saying about Star Trek, what I really like about Tapestry is that when Picard gets his artificial heart...
Podcast at GamerDA.com. Gentlemen, where can they reach us at?
We're on Facebook at Gamer Discretion Advised.
We're on Facebook, Gamer Discretion Advised.
Well, you did a good job. He read strictly from the script.
We nailed it.
Nailed it.
You're the script, Josh.
It only took us 6 hours of practice, but we got it.
Yep.
GamerD81 at twitter.com.org/
/gov.
And that'll wrap it up for this week.
Peace.
Stars.